North Pole Hotline.
Help! My in-laws are hosting Thanksgiving, and we're bringing the dressing.
You mean stuffing?
No, dressing. I need cute outfits for everyone.
Get to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's kicking off the holidays with stylish denim, velvet tops, the season's best dresses, and 40% off your entire purchase now through Tuesday.
40% off? We'll be stuffing our shopping bags full.
And don't forget colorful sweaters and amazing outerwear, too. You can even buy online and pick up in store for free.
Ooh, I love an all-you-can-wear buffet.
Holiday your heart out at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 11/18 to 11/20. Exclusions apply. See stores for details.
And the song didn't play. I was talking before or after the show. Yeah, oh, my God, guys. My computer froze. Oh, no.
Your computer froze? Oh, no.
Hold on. I'm going to play the song that's supposed to open.
No worries.
Okay, you
I
do
can
that.
Only sing it.
I'm posting the link now.
Difficulties begin already.
And the switchboard's not working.
We could be one, we could be understand the way the other one.
Welcome to Vamp Radio. Today is June the 10th, 2009, and tonight the show is hosted by Gina, Courtney, and myself, Amy. You there, girls?
Hello.
I don't think Gina is, though.
I hear
them. Oops, sorry. I turned my microphone off, and I'm talking to you with no microphone on.
That's not going to work out so well, honey.
No, I'm trying to get used to this new microphone that has an on-off switch, and it's really hard to get used to.
So, Courtney, why don't you tell everyone who we have on today?
Well, we have Colette from Edible Red, and in about 30 seconds, I will be able to give you a much better and detailed answer than that.
That's awesome.
Oh, the computer crashes.
I don't think it likes Vamp Radio, because every time the show starts, that's when it crashes. Because it crashed the last two Dreamers radio shows we did, too. So.
That's okay. Awesome. You know, we're in the pioneering age of internet radio. This is Colette from Edible Red, by the way. So it's kind of exciting that we're all, in a few years, I think internet radio is going to be such a smooth-selling format. And, you know, we're the ones that are pioneering it. So I think that's cool.
I agree. It's going to be so much easier to reach out to everybody through this sort of fashion. And
you know, a little computer crash here, a little computer crash there. That's okay. We're keeping it real.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's very real.
It's very real.
And everybody gets to laugh at my pain in the meantime.
Oh, it's funny because I do a fair amount of internet radio, and pretty much everybody goes through it. So it's totally all good.
Awesome. My Yahoo's starting up to just almost.
Courtney has all of our notes. I was at the doctor all day, so she took care of everything for me.
Yeah, yes. No worries.
And I
at
sent
all.
Her everything. So everything that I had, I sent her. So it's all
that's
on
you
her
can
computer.
Ask me, you know, if you don't have it in front of you, no worries. No worries at all.
I was surfing your MySpace earlier before the show.
Uh-huh.
And you were on one of my favorite game shows.
Cash Cab?
Yes.
Cash Cab rules. Oh, my God. Yeah, it was really funny because the band, we were actually fighting that day. And one thing about the history of Edible Red is that we've been together for about 10 years, and we've been on the verge of breaking up consistently for 10 years. And that day, we were having, like, some crazy band fight, and then we got in a cab, and all of a sudden, these lights start going off, and we're like, what is this? I had heard of Cash Cab, but I'd never seen an episode, and all of a sudden, we're in the Cash Cab, and it was the most surreal thing, and thank God we had Dave, our cellist, who is a Harvard grad, so he nailed all those questions. And won a $750, which was incredible.
I would have walked with the money, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what's funny? Because when we did the Daily Double, I don't know if that's what it was called. I was actually going to tell him to go for the Daily Double, but I kind of trusted his judgment. And he had told me after the fact that he had actually seen the show before several times. And he was always really good at the questions, but he was never good at guessing the Daily Double. So his philosophy was that if he couldn't do it while he was watching TV, that he probably wasn't going to do it in real life. And he felt that even though we could have won twice the amount of money, he felt that, like, hey, if you're a rock band on TV and you're on a game show, it's important to win. Like, even if you win small, like, he felt that we needed to walk away winners. So I was very happy with his decision.
I loved one of the members was like, yeah, we get like $25 a gig. Take the money.
Oh, dude. Yeah. It was pretty funny. I was like, I can't believe he just said that on national TV. But, you know, I think everybody knows what bands go through. You know, even bands with record deals, the money's not always there. Like, sometimes you just got to do it for the love of it. So, and he was right. You know, it's a hard time in the industry right now, so we were like $750. Cool, we'll take it.
Yeah, $750 would be great in my pockets right now. I think I need to go.
Yeah. I know that would solve a lot of problems right now.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we each got like $170. I'm trying to do the math here. I think it was like $175 or something like that. It was something around there, but still, hey, not complaining at all.
No.
Any extra money is awesome money.
You're cool with taking questions from our listeners, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Guys, call in if you want to ask her a question. We will play some of more of the songs, but really you guys just need to go out and buy the CD because it's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I bought it this
so
morning
much.
And listened to it while I was at work.
Ah, you rock. Thank you for that.
I know sometimes.
Cool.
Yeah,
Courtney's like, damn, they're good. So I was like, I know. Aww. Thank you.
I was like, I love these songs. I had this like little list written down on the bottom, the ones that were my favorite.
That's cool. And you know what? Thank you for opening up with 2012, because for some reason that's not a song that gets picked a lot. So that felt really good to hear that one opening up the show.
Oh, I loved that one. I think that's my favorite one.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, for some reason, like, people tend to gravitate towards Sugar and Spring and Hey Ya and Paralyzed. Like, those are the three that everybody picks. So it was really nice to, like, you know, hear someone kind of go against the grain and pick something different.
Really, Better Days and Rectify were in my top two.
Oh, I gotta say, I love Better Days.
Me too.
It's kind of a personal favorite of mine. Thank you.
So, talking about Hey Ya, I think Courtney had a question about that.
Yeah.
I was like, what inspired you to do that? Because when I first heard it, since I was just going through a CD and hadn't actually been, you know, I was just kind of, if something caught my eye, I started listening more closely, and all of a sudden I went,
sure,
these lyrics sound really familiar. Wait a second. And as it went on, I went, wait. So what inspired you to do that?
You know, it was funny how it happened. We actually came up with the concept quite a while ago. It was about 4 years ago, before we even had our record deal. I was doing a cover gig, you know, to kind of make some money on the side, and I was playing solo with guitar. And usually what I do when I'm learning new songs, I break them down very slowly just so I can get the chord changes and really, you know, get the lyrics of the song into my head. So I was singing Hey Ya very slowly. And I'm singing it, and I was like, wow, you know, this slowed down tempo is really cool. And then as I was playing it at this slowed down tempo, I was thinking, whoa, this is a really serious song, and it's actually kind of heartbreaking. You know, because if you listen to the words, it's a very serious song about how relationships can just be very hard and how our generation has, you know, we don't have the expectations that our parents' generation had, where it was like, okay, you get married and you stay together forever. You know, with our generation, we don't know if that's going to be the case. And I remember Andre 3000 specifically was talking about when he first wrote Hey Ya, it was right around the time of his divorce, and he started working on the song, and then he put it away, I think, for about a year and a half, and then he revisited the song, and he put, like, this really happy, upbeat, bouncy tempo to it. And when that song was a smash hit, I don't think anyone really realized what a serious song it was. And he was constantly talking about that in interviews, that Hey Ya is actually a really heartbreaking song. And, you know, and I didn't really get it either when I was hearing him talk about it. When I started singing it in a slowed-down fashion, I realized what a serious song it was. And, you know, I felt like it would be a good thing to bring to the band. And it was so funny because at first the band did not want to do it at all, and I kind of had to fight for it. So that's how Hey Ya came about. And we actually just released a video for Hey Ya.
Yes, I saw that. I hadn't actually gotten to watch it yet, but I noticed you guys had blogged about it.
We did. And it was funny because the record label also didn't want to do Hey Ya. And I felt very strong. And the band didn't want to do Hey Ya as a video either. So I'm kind of stubborn that when I feel like I need to, you know, do a video or record a song, I do it, you know. So we ended up just getting a bunch of friends together. We got a makeup artist off of Craigslist. We got a male model off of Craigslist to play my love interest. And we made this video for Hey Ya, and it turned out pretty good. I was pretty excited about it. And then our record label, who initially didn't want to do it, once they saw the video, you know, they called me up and they said, you know, we're really, really proud of you. We know we didn't, you know, really give the green light for this to happen, and we're proud of you that you did it on our own, and now we're going to give it our full support. So In a few weeks, our label is going to start a whole campaign for the Hey Ya video.
Well, that's great.
I'm excited. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to watching it after the show.
Thank you so much. Here.
We have a caller. Let me bring our caller in.
Okay.
Mark?
I'm here.
Hi, do you have a question?
I did. What are some of her influences in her music?
You got it. Well, first and foremost, I'm a huge Tracy Bonham fan. I don't know. Do you know Tracy Bonham at all?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
I'm such a huge fan of hers. I think she's so underrated and she needs more credit. As a songwriter, she's one of my favorites. I grew up on Prince, which was like Prince kind of started my whole love affair with music, like right around 1999 and Purple Rain, that era. And I would say my third influence would be Jeff Buckley.
Very interesting combination.
Yeah, I like a variety. So I would say those would be my top three. And as far as the guys in the band, Sean, he's very into classic rock. He's into a lot of the Stones and Who. And our drummer, Tom Papadatos, he's actually very much a jazz guy. Like, he's very into Miles Davis. So you have all these different influences kind of rolled up into one little ball.
So is it you know, sometimes complicated to, get a song kind of together or whatever, because if one person wants to push it in one direction and one other person wants to push it to the other?
You know, actually, no. I think the fact that we have such different influences, at the end of the day, that's kind of what works for us. Because very rarely, more often than not, when we're playing together, we're clicking and we're vibing. And very rarely do we fight or disagree about the direction that a song's going in. I mean, we fight and disagree about other things outside of the music, but as far as the music itself, I feel like the fact that we're all coming from different places has actually been kind of a blessing.
Well, especially when you were in the Cash Cab, because if you all came from different sources, then you're going to get no different knowledge.
Except for, I don't know if you noticed, but it was the cellist that answered everything. I think there were maybe like one or two questions where I had the answer. But me and Tom, we were sitting in the back. We barely contributed to the answers. It was mostly the cellist, Dave, and a little bit of Sean, who plays guitar, who they pretty much won all of that. We were just along for the ride.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you back with the other ladies, but thank you for answering my questions.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I was thinking that when I listened, when I looked on your MySpace, because I was thinking, this is a really eclectic mix of people. But then when I listened to your music, I was like, okay, each song, you can tell all these different influences, and it really makes for a different sound for each song. So it keeps things interesting, I think,
cool.
To have all these different tastes.
Thank you.
Oh, it's just the truth. Have you had any strange fan encounters or any memorable moments at a show that you've done?
Strange fan encounters. For the most part, our fans are super, super cool. We had one extremely cool fan encounter. I don't know if you know the comedian Stephen Wright.
Yeah,
you know
him
at all? He is actually a fan of ours, and he showed up at a show. And it was crazy because I am a huge fan of his, and I've been a huge fan of his since I was a kid. And we were playing a show in Block Island, and, you know, we got there early, and it was about 2 hours before we were going to go on. And, you know, there was only one person there because it was super early. And that person was Stephen Wright. And Tom Papadatos, who plays drums, and I, we looked at each other, we're like, that's not, is it? And we were like, no way. There's no way that Stephen Wright is here. There's no way that's possible. So, you know, Tom kind of like walks up to him and talks to him, and then he comes back and he's like, it is Stephen Wright. And we were freaking out. Like, we couldn't believe that, like, not only was he there to see us play, but that he showed up 2 hours early, which was crazy. That was awesome. I mean, other than that, like, our fans are cool. Like, they don't do anything weird, which is really nice. Sometimes we get, we have a couple strange internet people that I think are not fans, but, like, they just like to, like, get on the internet and make fun of us. But, you know, that's okay. That just kind of comes with the territory. But for the most part, our fans are super, super cool.
Well, that's awesome. And yeah. I think it's funny, you know, that you're fans of each other, so you both are probably very excited to be meeting each other.
It was crazy. I couldn't get over it because when I was a kid, my brother and I used to quote Stephen Wright at the dinner table. Like, we used to do his comedy routine, like, bit by bit and mimic him. So it was the most surreal thing in the world. I could not believe he was there.
That is so awesome.
It was cool. It was I seriously felt like the band reached a new level, just the fact that he was at our show.
So, you found our radio station when we had the Kin on, and you toured with the Kin a little, correct?
We didn't go on tour with them. We played some shows with them in New York. And it's funny, our drummer, actually, Tom Papadatos, he actually played shows with the Kin. He was the drummer in the early stages of the Kin. Before they were the Kin, I think, and I don't want to butcher the name, but I think they were the Harlequin, or they had a longer name, and then
yes.
They shortened it down to the Kin. And Tom used to play with them when they had first started playing in the city. And he played a bunch of shows with them. And then Edible Red actually also played with them also. And I remember there were a few times where I dropped in on their rehearsals, and then I lost touch with them, and then now they're huge, you know. So, and it's not, I'm not surprised by their success, because it's funny, you know, I've been in the music industry in New York for about 10 years now, and you encounter thousands of bands. You know, I've seen so many bands, talked to so many bands, seen so many bands play, and many of them are incredible, but only a few are going to make it. And what's funny is that I can usually kind of tell which bands are going to do something. Like, I get a little bit of a sixth sense. And usually it's the bands that are, not only are they extremely talented, but they're working really hard and very diligently, and they're going out of their way to make it happen for themselves, and they're not waiting for someone to make it happen for them. And, you know, when they blew up, I wasn't surprised at all, because, you know, I knew from when I first met them that they were very serious about what they did. They always delivered a great show and, you know, always got a ton of people out to the shows. So, you know, when I saw that they were, like, doing these big tours and got signed, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Have you, who else have you opened up for?
Do you know the band DO2 by any chance, the band on the Independent Film Channel?
No.
I'm friends with this band called DO2, and this is another band that I had a gut feeling about. I was like, this band's going to do something. And they, about a little over a year ago, they got a TV show on the Independent Film Channel, and the show, it's kind of a scripted, it's half scripted, half reality. It's fictional, but it's loosely based on their lives. It's very much in the vein of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And Joan Rivers plays their manager, and they've also had, like, Dave Navarro on the show, and John Popper, and Sebastian Bach, and Gilbert Gottfried. And so we've opened for them a bunch of times. some funny ones. We opened for the Baja Men, you know, the guys who sing Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yeah.
We opened for them. Do you guys remember Missing Persons?
Mm-hmm.
So, we recently opened for them about 4 weeks ago, and that was just incredible for me because when I was a little kid, I was absolutely in love with that band. And, you know, that to me was like the quintessential 80s band. And it was so crazy because about 6 weeks ago, I was just walking down the street, and all of a sudden I started thinking, man, Missing Persons, that was a great band. Whatever happened to them? And I don't know why I had this thought, but it was so strong in my head. And then literally 2 days later, I got a phone call to open up for Missing Persons. And it was just like the craziest thing. But that was probably my favorite one, to be honest.
Awesome. Well, we have another caller, and this is Ed, and Ed says he knows you.
Ed? Okay.
Hey, Colette.
Hi.
So I'm making good on forgetting to call in last time. So I wanted to thank you for, I didn't know the backstory on Hey Ya, that you had to fight with the rest of the band to get that recorded. So
I did.
That's good that you won that fight because it just really ties everything together with the original material on the album. And I wanted to ask you, since you know I commented on Facebook about how much I love the video and how well it turned out, and I on a low budget did you get it to look so great?
Wow!
I mean, it looks professional. I mean, it's totally ready for prime time.
Yeah. Well, right now because of and I mean this isn't. No, this can happen in any state of the economy. But right now, because the economy is a little tricky, there's a lot of very professional people who are willing to work for free at the moment if they believe in the project.
I did notice something about you when you were calling for on Facebook for for people to work like on comp for trading for portfolio pictures and whatnot.
Yeah, we put a call out, and in the past, like sometimes it is very tricky when you don't have the budget that you wish you had to create what you want to create. And in the past, I used to be really shy about that. Like when we were in a situation where we couldn't pay, I used to be kind of embarrassed about it. And now I realize that, it's the music industry. We are in pretty much the hardest time that the music industry has ever faced. We're in a tough economy, but we still want to be creative and make art that is cool and meaningful to us. And, initially we had a budget at one point, and we were going with a different director, and then that director ended up moving to Oregon. So
oh my God.
The video got put on the back burner, and then we went on tour a couple times, and we got put on the back burner, and then the stock market crashed. And then our video budget got cut in half, and it got cut in half.
So that explains the 2 years until.
I had
no idea about that either.
Yeah, a lot of it had to do with the fact that we were touring, and we have been trying to make this video for 2 years. We went through a bunch of directors, and we kept signing on with people, and then something would happen, like either they would move or they'd get some really cool film or something, and then they would have to drop out. With Philip. I'm sorry?
I just wanted to ask you, is the director the one who was responsible for, like, the editing and the way that it
oh,
looked
yeah.
with the transitions? Because those transitions really, made it.
He did an incredible job. Yeah, actually, initially, he did all the editing, he did all the transitions, and, at one point, we were actually doing it with the record label, and we actually had a budget. It wasn't big, but we did have one, and then the label had decided that since we were starting to write a new album, they didn't want to do any more videos off of Welcome to My Bad Behavior. They wanted to move on and do a video for a new song, And they had asked Philip, you know, Volter, who's the director, you know, would you mind working on this new song instead? And Philip was like, sure, absolutely, I'll do this new song. And then he came to me and said, hey, you know, since the label's not, you know, going to push Hey Ya as a video, how about if I just come to your apartment, you know, next Saturday with the camera and we'll just shoot something for fun? And I was like, okay. And then, you know, we weren't even really planning on getting a leading man or hair or makeup or any of that. But then a stylist friend of mine had heard that we were still doing the video, and he's like, well, I still want to style it. And then he got the designer for Members Only to donate all this clothing. And then we were like, okay, well, now since we have this great wardrobe, you know, why don't we get a makeup artist too? So we got one off of Craigslist. And then Philip was initially going to step in as the love interest character. And then he realized that it was just going to be too much to direct and also be in the video. So then he was like, you know what, let's get a love interest. So we just posted another ad on Craigslist. And, you know, it really is like fitting lightning in a bottle. It was one of those situations where we had no money. I mean, we made the video for under $400.
Wow.
And it was
crazy. I mean, see, the part I don't understand about that is I can understand getting all the free services, but I mean,
sure.
did you get the editing done for low or free too?
Yeah, that was the director.
Wow.
And basically
God.
It boiled down to was that Philip, he's done some incredible independent films. He's never done a music video, and he really wanted to have a music video for his reel.
Well,
so
I'm glad it all came together.
Oh, me too, Ed. I'm so glad too.
I hope it gets seen by a lot of people. I mean,
it really
deserves to get like a lot of exposure. I hope it goes like totally viral.
You know, I gotta say we're feeling pretty optimistic about it because we haven't even really started a marketing campaign for it yet. We just kind of put it up on YouTube. And already I'm getting, you know, in the last, like, week, I've been getting letters from, you know, Australia, the UK. Like, somehow it's traveling. So, you know,
cool.
Thank you. I feel pretty good about it.
See, the thing about the song is that it's the same
yeah.
song, but it's a different song than the original mm-hmm. because of the way that it's done. And
yeah.
that's the way covers should be done. They shouldn't like try to imitate so much the original, and it's just brilliant. I should shut up.
Thank
now.
You. Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Okay. All right. Well cool. And but I have to I have to second that you look stunning in the video.
Thank you so
just,
much.
It was just great on every level. I mean the depiction of the story of the song and the look of the video was just great. Anyway, let me let you go. I'm sure that there are other callers waiting to talk.
Cool.
Take care.
Thank you so much. And Ed, thank you. You've been extremely supportive of Edible Red for a while, so I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, it's easy when the band is so good. I like to support worthy bands.
Right on. So, thank you.
All right. Take care. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Well, he sounds sweet.
He rocks, man. We love Ed.
Okay. So back to questions.
Sure.
I understand some of you have been classically trained or have degrees in fine arts. What was your vision of what you should do in music?
Oh, man. Wow. Well, for me personally, it's funny because I started off as a classical singer when I was 16. And, you know, I'm not really sure if I knew what direction I was striving for. I know that I started off with the classics because whatever discipline you're doing, whether it's dance or theater or music, it's always good to start off with classical training because, you know, even if you veer off, you know, I'm a rock and roll singer now, but I have classical training, and I knew that, you know, tackling the classics first would make me a better singer. Now, one of the reasons why I didn't stick with the classical stuff is that one, you really have to have kind of a very pristine lifestyle, which I knew I didn't want to have, you know. I knew I was going to move to New York and go out until 4 in the morning, and I wanted to do that. So I didn't think that having a career in classical would be for me. And also, classical singers tend to take on, like, a handful of roles. Like, they study roles in different operas, and they tend to just stick within those roles. And I didn't really think that was for me either. So I did that, and then when I moved to New York, you know, I lived that lifestyle where I was just out in the clubs all the time. You know, I was in clubs that I wasn't even old enough to be in. Singing with people that at the time, like, I had no business singing with them. You know, there were people that were playing with, like, Stevie Wonder and Michael Jackson and Prince. And, you know, there were these session players that were just playing with these platinum artists. And I was just, you know, this kid that was just starting out. And, you know, I don't know. I kind of just took it as it came. For a while, I was doing the girl with the guitar thing, and then, you know, I finally saw this rock band at a music club named Medicine Stick, and it was the bass player from Living Color, who it was his own project, and I saw his band, and I was like, wow, I need to be in a rock band, and then it was all over. That's what I did. But I don't know if I necessarily knew that being in a rock band was what I was going to do, but I just knew that I would perform somehow and that there would be some kind of evolution, or maybe de-evolution in my case, since I went from classical to rock. you know, that, I don't know. It's just kind of a journey, and that's my story.
Well, that actually sounds pretty good. I mean, a nice way of going through life to see what works best for you rather than just diving into something and sticking with it regardless.
You know, I got to say, I am glad that I did get a chance to indulge in different disciplines, because I think it just makes you a more interesting and more well-rounded performer if you're coming from more than one place. So, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's good. It's great. I really do like that answer.
Thank you.
So we're going to be playing Paralyzed. Is there anything you'd like to say about the song, what it means to you?
Sure. Well, you know, Paralyzed was, we wrote it during an extremely difficult time in my life. You know how we all kind of get, we're all kind of allowed to have one huge adult catastrophe where everything falls apart. You know how we're all entitled to that at least. That would have been my time. and it was hard, you know, I was getting out of my first really serious relationship. I just moved out, broken up with this person. And, you know, there were many parts of my life that weren't in order that I had to get help for. And basically, I was going through this period of my life for about a year where all I was doing was getting help and going to work. Like, really no social life, no fun. Like, it was a really sucky year where all I was doing was healing from this relationship, and I was working on myself. And that person had actually moved on rather quickly and was married with children, like, almost instantaneously after our breakup, which was really hard. And, you know, at the time, I just felt so frozen by the circumstances. You know, I had a hard time finding joy in my life, and it was so hard to move forward that I felt like I was just paralyzed. Kind of a little bit like, you know, U2 song, you're stuck in a moment that you can't get out of. Very much the same concept. Stuff, and you know, since then I'm happy to say that I've healed from that moment, and I don't feel so negatively about that time in my life anymore. But it was quite an emotional time, so that's what that song's about.
Well, here is Paralyzed.
Cool.
Paralyzed.
On here. I love getting IMs and reading the chat room where people's like, okay, I'm buying this album. So can you tell us where to buy the album at?
Yes, that's awesome. To anyone who buys the album, thank you. It's pretty much almost anywhere online. It's on iTunes, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Pretty much if you look up the title of the album, which is Welcome, it's called Welcome to My Bad Behavior, Edible Red. It's almost everywhere. Occasionally, you'll even find it in a store. I know that record stores are kind of going extinct right now. So depending on where you're in the country, you might actually find it in the store or not. But pretty much on every major outlet, we have downloads for sale and also the physical album itself. To everyone, like really each and every single person that does get the album, it means so much to us because, not everybody is buying albums these days. So anyone who does get it, thank you.
Yes, definitely go out and buy the album. Don't go out and like download it off one of those torrent sites.
Yeah, I always make sure to... I make sure when I really love a band, I always make sure to buy the album just because, the business is in flux and we're still trying to figure it out, what's really going on. But you can get it almost any place that sells CDs online. There's like an 80 to 90% chance that they'll have our record.
That's great. Do you want to give everybody your MySpace link, too, if they want to find you on MySpace?
Sure. We're on MySpace, so it's myspace.com/ediblered. Of course, we're on Twitter as well, twitter.com/ediblered. You guys can even add me as a friend on Facebook under Colette McClaffrey. I have a personal page. Those are the three big ones that we're on.
Courtney?
Hey. Yes, I got this.
Cool.
I have a multiple-part question, and there may be a bit of a repeat answer, but just to cover
That's
our
okay.
ground.
Huh?
So you say you've been in the industry for probably about 10 years.
Yeah.
What made you want to become musicians? How did your band come to be? And what's the story behind the name of Edible Red?
Okay, well, as far as what made me want to be a musician, that's something that it's just born in you. And believe me, being a musician is definitely not the easiest road. There's a lot of things about it that are really fun, and the reward of getting on stage and performing is incredible, but it's a tough, 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 tough business. So it's one of those things where it really kind of chooses you. You don't really choose it. And once you have it, like once you know that you need to do it, you need to do it. So that's what, like, I just knew. I was in the fifth grade, and I think I saw Muppets Take Manhattan, and I just knew I was going to go move to New York City. I actually initially thought I was going to be an actress, but I knew I would do something that had to do with the performing arts. And so that, it just kind of chose me. The second question was, how did the band come together?
Yes, it was.
You know, it's funny, Edible Red's been around for a while, so we've had some, you know, lineup changes. People have come in and out. It kind of started with me and a friend, and then my friend's coworker joined the band, and then my friend quit the band the day that guy joined, and then we got a drummer off of Village Voice, who is Tom Papadatos, who's still a founding member. And then the guitar player quit, then we got a new guitar player. So it was this concert. There's probably been around 7 or 8 members of the band, and we've hired tons of session players within the 10-year radius of the band. But, you know, mostly it just started by reaching out to friends. And then when we couldn't find people within our social circle, we went to, you know, just placing an ad.
Oh, yeah?
So kind of a long, complicated circle.
Life usually is.
Oh, and then the third question was the name Edible Red, right?
Yes.
Well, that, you know, that's funny because we had our first gig coming up, and we could not think of a name for the band to save our lives. Like, you know, we were racking our brains. We got to the point where we were, like, outside looking at signs on the street. And I was like, how about if we call ourselves 1 Hour Photo, you know? And I was like, no. And we were just racking our brains, and nothing was sticking. And we had this gig coming up, and, you know, the guys were freaking out. They were like, you know, I don't know if we can do this gig if we don't have a name. And I was like, hey, I have an idea. How about if we do the gig, and we'll put suggestion cards out on the tables, and we'll just, you know, we'll let somebody else name the band, you know, so we don't have to do the work. So somebody came up with Edible Red, and, you know, I remember specifically not wanting a band name with the word red in the title because I'd seen a lot of other bands where the singer had red hair, and it was, like, something red, and I don't know, I thought it had been done a bunch. But the name went over so well with people. Like, I was a little hesitant, to be honest, but a lot of, like, my girlfriends were like, oh, no, you have to go with Edible Red. So when I saw that, like, my girlfriends were really into it, it made me more excited about it. And then I realized that it actually is pretty catchy. So that's how – actually, two guys, Johnny Miles and Frank Morata Jr., that's their names. So I'm going to give them a big shout-out. They were both at the CD release party, and they came up with the name Edible Red together.
I like the name. I really do.
Thank you. I can't take credit for it at all.
I do like the name, too, but I also love your hair.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, the hair came first, then the name.
Red is the only way to go, in my opinion. But.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. I tried, because I've had red hair for a long time, and a few weeks ago I tried to go brown, and it just wasn't me. Like, it just didn't fit me. It looked great. Like, the color was beautiful and it was flattering and everything, but it just wasn't my personality, so I went straight back to red.
I completely understand.
Yeah, your hair color, like, kind of dictates, you know, your mood sometimes.
It really does, because if you have red hair and then you have a tantrum, nobody thinks anything of it.
Well, and nobody messes with you either.
It's true.
It was funny because I noticed I've been every color, and as a redhead, people just don't mess with me. So I kind of like it.
Well, I like it too, and I know there was a lot of people in the chat room saying they did as well.
Oh, awesome.
So don't change it.
Thank you.
Okay. What are some of your favorite places that you've played, and is there anywhere that you're aspiring to play or any, like, tours that you want to do?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would have to say one of the coolest days of my life was when we got to play at the Highline Ballroom in New York City. The Highline Ballroom, it's a super, super cool club that opened up by the same people that own the Blue Note, and they opened up this rock club, and they had, like, Paul McCartney played there, and Stevie Wonder, and Carlos Santana, and Pink, and Amy Winehouse, and it was funny because I was a waitress at the Blue Note when they opened up this club, and now they don't usually, like, let people who work there play shows. Like, that's not a very common thing. But I walked right up to the owner, and I was like, yo, I want to play the Highline Ballroom. And he's like, okay. And every time I saw him, I was just like, just so you know, I still want to play the Highline Ballroom. And then the day I quit my job, one day I just decided to quit my job, and I was like, you know, I have to just be a musician and not wait tables. And, you know, he came up to me. He said, I heard you're leaving. Is there any reason why? And I think he was going to offer me a job at the Highline. And I said to him, I said, look, you know what? I'm a musician, and I got to go make music, and I don't really want to waitress anymore. And he said to me, he's like, can you do it? Like, are you going to be able to handle it financially? And I said, look, I have no idea, but if I don't try, I'll never know. And he said, well, you know what? I think we should have you at the Highline Ballroom then. And so we got a gig, and it's incredible. Like, it was really a huge career stepping stone, and a lot of people started taking us more seriously because we had played there. As far as shows that I want to do, oh, man, there's so many. There's so many tours I want to be a part of. I'd love to play Lollapalooza. There's also a show called The Open Door. It's a local show it's on a station called X1 FM where they feature up-and-coming bands, and people from all over the world watch it. And I'm dying to be on that show. You know, basically that, Lollapalooza. I'd really love to play Irving Plaza in New York City. And, you know, of course, like the huge rooms like Madison Square Garden, I want to do all that stuff. So I just, you know, I want to do it bigger and better.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you
Sounds
know.
Sounds good. I think you can do it.
You know, I think so, too. Like, it's funny when you get to the point where you've been doing it for 10 years, you know you're going to keep doing it. Like, you know you're not going to quit, you know, and it happens eventually. You just don't know when.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So
well,
thank
we
you.
We have 6 minutes left.
Okay.
Before we let you go, can you please say, this is so-and-so, and you're listening to Vamp Radio?
Yeah, definitely. This is Colette from Edible Red, and you are listening to Vamp Radio.
Thank you.
Did you get the sound bite?
Yes. It's
cool.
Recording the entire thing, so we kind of get our guests to say it at the end of the show, so I don't have to go back to, you know, listen to the entire thing, because I hate hearing myself talk.
No, honestly, I can't stand hearing. I love to talk, but I don't like to hear myself talk either.
I listen to all the shows I've been on all the time.
That's awesome.
You're so vain. No, I'm joking, Courtney. I love you.
I love you too, Amy.
So, yeah, what's the next song that we're going to play?
We are going to be playing Silently Screaming.
Oh, awesome.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that before we play it and say goodbye to you?
Yeah, sure. You know, it's funny. Silently Screaming is a very similar situation to Paralyzed. This is about a different man. But it was another situation where, you know, I won't go too much into the situation at hand, but I'd kind of walked in on something that was rather devastating.
And, you know, I found myself in the streets of Manhattan not knowing what to do with myself. Like, I felt like I couldn't go home. I couldn't be alone. I needed to be with friends, but it was late at night. I didn't know who was up. And, you know, I was just really trying to contain myself and not completely freak out. So, you know, that song is about just having all that, you know, rage and screaming inside of you, but trying to keep your calm at the same time.
I really like this song. So thank you for being on Vamp Radio, and you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.
And hopefully when you're out touring that all the girls from Vamp Radio and all our listeners can get out there and watch you live, because I really want to watch you guys play live.
That'd be wonderful.
We have a shout-out for Charlottesville in Virginia, by the way.
Oh, I'd love to play Charlottesville. Actually, my friend's band just played out there. I have, I'm friends with a band called Doublethink, and they just played out there, so I'd love to play out there.
Well, we'll have to find the places for you to play around here, and all you guys got to do is get on the bus and get the gas money, and we'll pick the places.
That'd be awesome. I'm totally down.
Okay, here's Silent Screaming. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Find the best deals of the season at the Ram Black Friday sales event. Like on Ram 1500, named one of Ward's 10 best interiors, with best-in-class V8 towing and the available Hemi V8 engine to handle even the toughest holiday errands. Or on Ram 3500, with best-in-class fifth-wheel towing, giving Old St. Nick's sled a run for its money. Hurry in for a great deal during the Ram Black Friday sales event. Class-based and light-duty pickups and 350, 3500 pickups when properly equipped. Properly secure all cargo. Always tow within the vehicle's capacity. Ram and Hemi are registered trademarks of FCA US LLC.